You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Around the NFL Podcast isn't resting their starters.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hanzus. I have some heroes with me. Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. You know, I don't like to miss shows, boys. I get a lot of FOMO, but family called, and I needed to do some good fam time over there in Anaheim. Did it, but I'm happy to be back. How's everybody doing?
It's good to have you back. Doesn't feel right without you here. We had our fun on the broadcast and with Claybon and Henry, but it's wrong. It doesn't feel right.
How I imagine I was kind of out of pocket, so I didn't hear the show or see the program on NFL Network. How did Greg do in the host chair, Mark?
I thought he did a competent job, not surprisingly. I was.
Mark knows this is a tricky. This is like Andrew Berry trying to answer questions.
Well, no, because there's. I think that Greg. I'll just say. I'll put it this way. After the show, I was driving home and got a text from Greg.
Really?
Yeah, about the show and about his own performance. Which I.
That's true?
You know, I always
no,
know.
Of course. It's
no, it's absolutely true. I know that Greg. Like he. You know,
and Colleen hosted the broadcast, by the way.
This is what this text said, by the way. What up, bitch? I did an incredible job with that. I'm sure you agree. I feel power, real human power, flowing through my bloodstream. I am nothing short of an unstoppable fireball in this industry, in our league. Check you later, brah. Greg.
Obviously, I was poking around looking for that naked ambition, and there it was in the text.
I mean, I didn't even respond to it because it's like, I don't even know. That just gets me in the middle of it.
I like in your pretend little text that you wrote out nicely for yourself. You made all caps for real human power. I don't know if you really
Greg,
delivered
no
one, it
no,
that way.
This
though.
Is how you sent it.
And then
me.
I want to, because I don't know if this came up late in the week, but I know obviously it's been a emotional roller coaster of a couple of weeks for you, Mark. And it should be noted that one of your great heroes on Twitter reached out to you, Mark Hamill. And that had to be a real thrill for you.
It was a boost.
Right.
This is not the right song.
This is Star Wars.
He was not part
of
this.
I'm sure it was
production.
A boost. You wouldn't want to be Simone on that day. I mean, Mark was just...
Right.
He was excited.
Pew, pew, pew!
We've interacted before, but this felt a little bit different. I thought it unified us in a stronger way, Mark Hamill.
Well, he knows who you are at this point. You guys are Twitter friends.
Vaguely annoyed.
I got in the mix when you initially tagged him on it, and I replied, "Hey, help out my buddy Mark with the C."
I think you might have been the change agent on that. I do.
I hope I was. Yeah. And if I wasn't, it doesn't matter. All that matters is that you have a direct Sessler Hamill connected perfectly in sync.
Right. Although this is the score from Superman, just to be clear. Oh. Okay.
Well, we try our best.
By now, it's a bit. You did that on purpose.
I try my best. I work with Erica to produce the best show possible. And if I fell short in that regard, my apologies.
You're human.
Let's get to the news. We got a lot to get to.
Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me.
Love it. Love monoculture moments. I love things that everyone's talking about. You know, I was out with the family. Keith and Deb are still in town. We went out and had a nice pizza dinner with the boys. And when news of this incident with Rock and Smith happened at the Oscars, you heard it buzzing all over the restaurant in this outdoor area we were at.
Wow.
And then you go and you check it out, and there it is. And then when I'm checking out with the hostess, it was a place where you pay at the front. I showed it to her because I just wanted to share it with her. I wanted to share this moment. And I was thinking.
It's like the nice version of Peter King telling that hostess that who was it that died?
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams.
Not funny, but come on. I was thinking about what would be the NFL equivalent of that moment, and I said, what? Okay, would it be, for instance, Aaron Rodgers on the stage at NFL Honors saying something, and then like Brett Favre gets up and mollywops him?
That would be close.
But the thing is, it doesn't work because these, and we know being up close to these guys, that they're all very macho and no one takes the slap. There's no NFL player that takes that slap without it becoming a ruckus. So then I was thinking it probably would have to be, again, let's set it at NFL Honors. Let's put Steve Harvey up there. He says something about Steve Smith. I'll throw wide receiver out there. That might be involved in something like this. Gets up the stairs, smacks Steve Harvey. I think it can't be player on player. It has to be player on personality.
Player on performer or yeah. on comedian
or
type
us.
Individual. Or us.
Or Steve Smith if he hears this somewhere
sure.
in the building right
he won't
now.
Right.
Like
I think that would be a better analog, I think, is Mark slapping me in the face during a podcast. I don't know if NFL Honors and Steve Harvey's getting a lot of pop, but I feel like if Mark slapped me hard in the face because I just went too far one of these times, maybe it wouldn't be a monoculture moment, but for our podcast listeners, it would be seismic.
Well, it'd be justified.
I'm annoyed with Greg.
If that happens one day, I will tell you I'll be the happiest man in the world. Not because of any boiling point being reached, but the entertainment value of a slap. Any slap in the studio.
I'll take it.
Doesn't have to be Mark Gregg. Anyone getting just slapped, like Ricky maybe comes in here. Like she's, oh, Dan made one too many jokes about my vacation. I'm just going to mollywop his ass. Like that would be cool.
Well, she's a total wild card. I could see that.
That would be amazing. That would be hilarious.
You get mad at Gregg too. Like if you just came in.
What if I slapped all three of you? Like just down the line. Like just boom, boom, boom.
At one point.
Like a cartoon?
That's on the second and third person for allowing that after.
Right. You see the first one.
That's true. And by the way, a little later in the show, now that free agency is really unfolding here, and we're in the third wave we're in now?
I don't know.
I think we're in the second wave, but the third week. So it's been going on for a while.
You know what it also is? It's almost graybeard season. I got to roll out the 2022 graybeards. I got to talk to Ali Bunpuri about that arc.
A lot of options right now. You might have to wait this out. There's too many good old guys.
I like to put together a good roster, though. So maybe next week, though. We're going to get to best fits for remaining free agents, any trades we like. But let's hit the news first. All right, we do have to hit this just because the timing of it, again, the Browns masterfully setting all this stuff up to minimize exposure. So their press conference introducing Deshaun Watson is held on Friday. That gives, the weekend to slow down the story and get forgotten by Will Smith smacking the shit out of Chris Rock and other events. Here was Deshaun Watson at the dais, a dais that did not include the owner. The owners of the Browns, Dee and Jimmy Haslam, who held a Zoom meeting later. I mean, anyway, Dee, here is Deshaun Watson talking about where he's at right now and how he feels about this situation with the 22 cases of sexual assault and harassment still hanging over his head.
I understand the whole circumstances is very difficult, especially for the women's side of the fans in this community. I'm not naive to that. I know these allegations is very, very serious. But like I've mentioned before, I've never assaulted any woman. I never disrespected any woman. I was raised by a single parent mom who has two aunties who's her sister. And that's who raised me. I was raised to be genuine and respect everyone and everything around me.
Mark, this is where Watson's coming from on this. There's no accepting of blame because he is continuing to assert 100% innocence. How did it come off to you?
Well, I think you just said it. I don't hear from his angle really accountability. I mean, he talked about the fact, I don't have a problem. I don't have an issue. When they talked about counseling, I don't have any regrets. He's been very clear, I think, on that from that angle. And from the Browns angle, I think, I'll say what I mentioned on our Around the NFL broadcast. Maybe just come out and say, we want to win football games. That's why we did this. Without the song and dance and the rest of it and trying to tell us how much work went into this into their investigation, it didn't check out to me watching it in real time, and it doesn't check out in hindsight.
Yeah, we talked about it for a while. That was a exhausting day, exhausting week. I'm sure it's exhausting for a lot of people, you know, within the Browns organization, exhausting for a lot of women and men who have been upset about this. Like, I can't muster the same fury that I had on Friday watching it, but it just sort of like a darker version of the Falcons press conference. Just like, how dumb do you think your fans are? I don't think they thought the press conference would go as poorly as it did. I think they've been in their cocoon a little bit, the agent, Watson, ownership, believing that they're checking a lot of boxes, and maybe they didn't know it was going to be as antagonistic. Like, why is Kevin Stefanski even up there? That would indicate they thought there was going to be some football questions. There was one. And I give the Browns media credit, who don't have the same relationships with Watson's agent that the national media does. And I'm not singling out anyone in particular. I would say every national outlet is part of this. And Mulugeta, I think, has exerted a lot of power in terms of silencing and changing the coverage, skewing the coverage in a way that the Browns Cleveland media doesn't care about. And they came at him hard. He was shook. Andrew Berry was shook. And I think the most honest answer of the entire press conference came from Berry at the end when they said, are you confident, you know, that Watson didn't do anything, that he didn't do anything that would be objectionable? And Berry, notably, I think to his credit, didn't answer that. He's like, I'm not going there. Like, I'll go pretty far here in backing up what I think Watson's going to be moving future, but I'm not going to say that this man didn't do anything wrong.
And you see kind of what the plan is here. You don't have to be an expert in the legal field. The Deshaun Watson, okay, I dodged criminal charges here, so I will not be found guilty in the court of law. Now we have all these civil lawsuits. My goal here is that they either get dismissed or there are settlements, and that it involves confidentiality where people can't speak out, so there's nothing that could be said, and those quietly go away. And then that all
for
that's
now
left.
For now, he's saying they're not going to settle, but that's for now.
Yeah. Right. All that's going to be left is him saying, I didn't do it. You can choose to believe me or not. Now I'm going to go play football. That is the goal here for Watson and the Browns, is that eventually this will go away. And I guess the disappointment is you want there to be some ownership to what he did. But if he's saying he didn't do it, you're kind of, from the public standpoint, from the Browns standpoint, you're from the public standpoint, what do you do? You could say, I don't believe him, but if he's not going to take accountability, you can't force him to. It's an uncomfortable, strange situation.
It is. And you're right. The Browns are banking on the fact that the football side of this will quickly take over. And that what, you know, as with all things, the story of the day and what we're outraged about, we don't have the energy to remain outraged. We don't have the energy to stay necessarily in a corner of thought, and we'll move on to the football side. That's what they're banking on, and looking at how things work, I think they're going to win that.
But people also won't forget it either. No, this was an unforgettable press conference. It was an unforgettable transaction. Nothing like it has really ever happened in the history of the NFL. And even if, yes, you're selling tickets and you're selling sponsorships still, and the Browns retain their fan base, I don't think it's something that's going to be forgotten. And I think that's partly just because of the timing of it all. And I think they pushed through the timing on this. And this is where the media part, I think, plays a factor. If the media was tougher on it throughout, I don't know if it would have happened right now in this window to maximize his earnings like they did, to maximize him being on the team in the offseason, to maximize his options, frankly, that he could do it in this week. So I think they are ultimately, whether they realize it or not, going to take more heat. And it was a more uncomfortable process because so much is still uncertain in terms of the civil cases and in terms of the NFL suspension, because they did it now, because they pushed it now to get the most money and the most leverage possible. And I think it's going to end up not really doing him a great service. I think if it had gone through a more normal process, it wouldn't have been as difficult.
I would just say this. I agree that when you say that people aren't going to forget, but the way that we treat all of this stuff with sports and with other things is like the league is littered with people that did stuff that we don't think is great. We don't accept on any level, and we move on from it. Like,
and
we just do.
And speaking of Peter King, read in his column today, he had some listeners that are lifelong Browns fans writing in saying how disillusioned and upset, how they can't root for the team in the same way anymore. Mark, you've been on record on this podcast that you are also disillusioned and don't feel like you could root for the team in the way that you did growing up. But the Browns are banking on challenging you and everyone and every other Browns fan that when we're 12-5 a year from now or 2 years from now, and we have a first round bye, or we are, you know, one game away from the Super Bowl, are you still going to be out, or are you going to kind of forget about this and let time take care of it? It's dirty business, but I think that's what they're banking on, that we're taking the hit now to know that tomorrow people will move on.
100%.
In other news, since we're here, real quick on Baker Mayfield, who still 10 days after this trade for Deshaun Watson is still a member of the team. Kevin Stefanski said at the league meeting today, "I think everyone understands the situation and we're hoping that it is resolved soon." Jake Brisket is on that team. Watson is either going to play all the games or some of the games next season. So we're still waiting for that other shoe to drop. Just a matter of like, where is the fit for Baker? But still, I thought it was interesting. Joe Thomas had a point that he thinks that Baker overplayed his hand with the statement, with the trade demand, kind of valuing himself as a franchise quarterback that could dictate where he goes next. And now he finds himself in this kind of purgatory.
I mean, we're about to talk about another quarterback that overplayed his hand a bit, but Baker absolutely did. I mean, he's an emotional being, and it cost him in this situation. I mean, at the same time, it's so clear the Browns were moving on, and he has no value right now. Like, you just have the teams aren't going, especially with the draft coming up. It's like Baker Mayfield has no real landing spot at the moment.
I think Seattle can be it. I don't buy that they need to, you know, give up a pick to get rid of Baker. His contract's not bad. It's $19 million. If you're going to be starting games, that'll be one of the lowest guys with as much experience that he has. I think it's just going to drag out until the draft. Seattle makes sense. You send a fourth round pick. The Browns aren't in a huge hurry. He's never getting on the field again. I don't need to hear about this. No. This talk is like, well, maybe they would carry him. It's like, no. But they have plenty of cap space. They have plenty of cap space. Even with Baker, they have the number two most amount of cap space in the entire NFL. So you wait until the draft. You get a fourth round pick for him. I'm not sure where else he would possibly go. And so Seattle kind of knows that. And I think Seattle is where he will.
I mean, he just seems like the biggest loser of this period of the league calendar, because not only did he lose his job and it's been a humbling thing, he wanted to go to the Colts say no thanks. Now you're hearing the reports connecting Jarvis Landry and Odell back to Cleveland. It's like, it's a tough time to be Baker Mayfield.
The Panthers don't even want him.
It'll be interesting to see how he comes out of this, because it's obviously, I would think, been very humbling. And Kyler Murray, yes, he has been the subject of speculation, another former number one overall pick who is potentially at odds with his team. He doesn't say so. He was at a charity event and said, "I'm an Arizona Cardinal." And he also addressed something we obviously were laser focused on, which was scrubbing his social media of any and all Cardinals content, usually a sign of discontent. "I want out." But Kyler says, no, I would never do that.
No, if you're a kid my age, you know, like, you're used to, like, people take off all that. Like, that's just a thing, you know. Honestly, like I said, I took everything off besides one picture, so it wasn't, it had nothing to do with the Cardinals or anything like that.
Kids my age, it's just a thing. Sounds like something my son would say, my 7-year-old.
He's being ageist, you know. He's representing the young people and just saying we're a bunch of olds that don't understand. I mean, Ricky, as the resident person who, you know, is so close to being in their 20s, but no longer is.
Just on the outside looking in.
Right.
Like, does that...
Greg, how old are you, right?
Does that, like, hold water? Because his whole thing of, like, well, I brought it down to 2. We do that all the time. Well, then he re-added everything again a couple of weeks later.
Right.
Yeah, no, it totally is something for him to brush it off like that. That's
right.
Nothing.
He's
that's
trying
like,
to
all
pull
of a sudden,
over us.
We're looking, you know, Mark tweeted last night, like, he's in a dark, dark wood or something. And then we look at his profile. Yeah, again. And we look at his profile. And everything ATN related has been scrubbed. We'd be like, hey, what's going on here? You know what I mean? It means
something. Why were you in a dark wood?
I don't know.
Hey, Ricky, just a heads up.
Early spring is a time for darkness and beauty. A few hours before that, or maybe a day before that, I'm not sure. Everything becoming a dark dream.
I think it speaks for itself.
Somebody was watching a press conference, I think. You know, in industry parlance, by the way,
rewatching, Ricky, what? That would be sad.
You would be labeled as being on the wrong side of 30.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. That's exactly.
I don't. I mean, I don't view you that way.
Thank you. Yeah. Right. Thank you for making
Nor
that
do
clear.
I. Yeah. Just to be
no,
clear.
I mean, yeah, we know where Greg stands, but he's getting old. He's getting old, cranky. You know, just it is what it is.
Getting cranky.
Yeah.
Kyler's thing, though, it does seem like he's calmed down a little bit. I do think you can take
something he's out of moves.
Out of these these comments, and the like they put out that statement was more significant to me than the Twitter scrubbing. And the statement I read as, pay me. And if you don't pay me, I'm not going to practice. And I still think that might be his vantage point. But I think the emotions of how the season ended up, he realizes he's going to be there. I think he probably legitimately wants to be there as long as they pay him. But that's a big hit.
Right.
That's a
Plus,
big hit.
I think Mark's right, too. Like some of the options that are appetizing have dried up. It's like, oh, you want to get traded? You want to go play for Matt Rhule before he gets fired in Carolina?
Right.
Like, is that better than where you are now?
Suddenly, Kyler Murray steps into line. It's
right.
Like, because you have no other options, my friend.
Maybe Seattle's an open door, but also they just traded their guy. In
They're
part
not trading
because,
Kyler Murray. It's one thing, like, for the Browns to, if they considered trading Baker in the division, that feels a little more Drew Bledsoe to the Bills. Like, yeah, try to beat us with him. I don't think anyone, they're not keeping Kyler in the division no matter what.
Although we shouldn't be so sure because there's been literally a dozen mega trades.
Right. Nothing from the past has any tangible meaning anymore.
Big news for Bills fans. On the same day that NFL owners unanimously approved, this is the owners meetings are going on. Did we mention on the show? It's happening right now over there in Palm
Beach.
Hadn't
mentioned it. We used to go get some fun interviews.
Maybe we'll go back next year. Didn't work out this year. But also it feels like this is the calm after the storm. This year, where you know maybe if things were
well, there wasn't even a whisper about sending us this time after we had done.
There were whispers.
We had our flights booked before the pandemic, and then
there were strong whispers.
Well, yeah. I guess I'm not paying close enough attention to the whispers, but I mean, there wasn't a rallying cry for us to go this time.
I'm happy to be here, Frank.
It's nice. It's nice to be with you guys here in Los Angeles.
Well, you got to go to Disneyland right. Instead. You would have been walking around with a bunch of GMs. Forget that.
So on the same day that the NFL owners unanimously approved the Bills' proposal for a new stadium in Orchard Park, the Bills officially reached agreement with the state and Erie County on a new $1.4 billion stadium. The agreement is for a 30-year lease on the stadium. It's set to begin that lease in 2026. The NFL and the Bills will contribute $550 million to match a combined $850 million in public funding. $600 million from New York State, Erie County, $250 million. So that shows you a lot of things. Some of the, I feel like it used to be a situation where teams could hold cities and regions hostage, say, pay for our stadium. In this case, there's a split of this. I don't know if this is viewed as something that's fiscally responsible regionally, but I do know the Bills are a major part of that community. So maybe it makes sense that everybody worked together to get a great facility built here.
Yeah, I remember when we started at the NFL, there was that period where the Vikings and Minnesota taxpayers went through a living hell to try to get that stadium done. There's just a really special relationship between Buffalo, its football team, and now its taxpayers as well. The whole money thing, great. I'm glad that they're not leaving town, first of all. That would be a travesty. But second, that they didn't go down the road, which would have annoyed me, by going Dome Stadium, where you can make it multi-purpose.
Like it.
It's outdoors. It's going to be outdoors in that Buffalo winter from now until the end of time.
Yeah, that part makes sense. Them staying in Buffalo gotta happen. It's also not totally done. At least some of the state share needs to pass a budget, but it doesn't sound like there's lawmakers that are looking that have shown any signs.
Let's get Greg up there to Western New York just to be boots on the ground
to hold it up.
Through.
That said, it's the most public money ever spent on a stadium at a time when public schools are struggling, and it seems ridiculous for the richest league and the richest billionaires and these these teams that are worth billions of dollars to need to get taxpayers to pay almost $1 billion in the year 2022. That's why it hasn't happened in many other places for a long time. It's like, miss me with that when you're like cutting like all arts and like gym funding and bad. It's
well, Greg, football is family.
everything you're saying makes sense. It feels like, you know.
But they got it nice done. It's surprising. It wouldn't work in most places, but they got it done.
It's a nice logical way to look at things, Greg. I agree with you. And I don't want to get, this is not an episode of Money on Money. I wish he was here to break it down. I do imagine having the stadium is going to bring a lot of revenue into the region for decades to come. So maybe there's a conversation there. I will say this, that the SoFi Stadium across the street from us, fully funded privately.
Yeah.
In Vegas, though, that region, they contributed $750 million. So I guess there's
you don't become billionaires by being a nice guy or a girl.
Greg, would you rather, though?
You could do it by, like, making people, you know, that aren't as fortunate.
Are
as
you saying the Pagulas like, are not
you.
Nice people, Greg?
I'm saying, like, you can afford to build the stadium or sell the team.
Greg, let's say you have a choice to make, and all of society would know that you made this choice.
Yes.
We have music, a second music class added to elementary schools in Western New York, but the Bills moved to San Antonio.
I mean, it's a false dichotomy there. I mean, what is
no,
that?
It's no, my dichotomy.
It. No,
thank
I think
you.
I promise
it.
We
thank
can find that. Many billionaires to build a stadium.
I just think you're putting us in a tough spot, or putting me in a tough spot, I'll just say.
Greg supports schools. It's Mark and Dan are...
It has nothing to do with you.
Tisk, tisk for taking any of the public's money. I think everybody wins here ultimately, right? If you're going to spend money on stuff, the Bills are something that are worth...
No, I'm sort of over that, like giving these people, it's not like to get public support. Like most people, they're obviously like the fans are happy. I'm just saying they could afford it. They're just putting it on people who can't.
Is this our last show?
I don't know.
This
would be a lame way to end the show.
Yes, yeah.
Bunch of people that don't know anything about financial business warring over it. Anyway, I'm happy the Bills are staying in Buffalo. How about that?
Of course.
Can we agree on that?
I said that.
My mind goes no deeper on the topic.
But those music classes that have been cut as a result of this, that is tragic. I agree.
Don't be a jerk. Mm. It's the telltale sign is when the first thing the governor said was like the hardworking men and women of Western New York. Whenever you break out the hardworking men and women, you know that they're phony. Like that was the first thing Deshaun Watson put out too. Like, oh, I can't wait to get in front of the hardworking men. It's like, what? There's not hardworking men everywhere. Hardworking men. Like, shut up. Pandering.
And politician, not authentic.
And also everyone out there that's going to be like, Greg was right. Dan was wrong on this.
No,
as
no,
Greg
no
says,
we're going to get tweets
miss
all week
me,
on this. You know?
Miss me with educating me on how public funding. I don't care.
Dan and Mark, right. Maybe you should take a wider, broader view of the topic the way that Greg did. I mean, I generally agree with what you're saying, but I just, you know.
Right. I'm
just glad it's not a dumb
in an ideal scenario, I'm totally with you.
Yeah.
It would be good. That's not how it played out. The Detroit Lions will be the featured team in the 2022 training camp version of Hard Knocks, according to an announcement made Monday by HBO and NFL Films. Hit me with it, Ricky. All right, the Lions were one of only three teams that could not turn down an invitation from the acclaimed sports documentary series. Follows NFL teams throughout training camp. Panthers and the Jets were also in line. But guess what? The Lions are a good pick, Greggy. Why? Because Dan Campbell's involved. That's a perfect Hard Knocks personality. The Lions, another team with a great fan base, downtrodden, looking to rise up. I think this will be good.
I think it'll be amazing. I think his staff is great. It's not just him. It's a good group of coaches under them. And I want a team that I want to root for. And I feel like they're a team that a lot of people can root for. Rachel Bonetta, our colleague, was searching for a new team, a Browns fan. She was kind of putting that out there on her podcast, Bench with Bonetta. And I think the Lions, that's a good one. Go from the Browns to the Lions. Be there on the ground floor.
It feels fresh because, you know, I get annoyed when it was the Cowboys. Everyone likes the Cowboys, and I understand why it's a huge, you know, way to go with Hard Knocks. But I want to learn about teams I don't know as much about. And this is a completely different situation. I think the Campbell and the whole rest of the crew will make it. I'm more interested in this Hard Knocks than like the last four or five in a row.
Well, plus Jared Goff on Hard Knocks for a third time.
Need it.
Well, let's see if he knows where the sun rises.
Fourth, if you include All or Nothing as like an NFL kind films of property.
Yeah.
A lot of Goff. Like, does he still have the golf thing, you know, where he hits the golf ball.
That was nice.
Well, that was
still live there.
Yeah,
I don't know.
His California spread.
I will say that Kevin Patra, who we're a big fan of, he's been on the show many times. He's a grinder on the Around the NFL blog. Is it still a blog? It's the news arm of NFL.com. Patra is leading the way over there. He wrote the things to watch for Hard Knocks. I saw it land this morning, and I'm thinking to myself, now I've been the Hard Knocks writer for a decade on this website. Maybe it's Patra's time. Maybe starting with the Lions, wouldn't he be a good person to write about this team?
I think he'd be great. But so that article happened without you being consulted. I think they're already telling you it might be time.
Maybe. Maybe it's out of my hands entirely. We'll find out. Anyway, let's take a break and we'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Time now for news and notes presented by Upwork, where you can build the team that will build your business. Learn more at Upwork.com. All right. On Sunday, Giants CEO John Mara said the team is not, quote, actively shopping Saquon Barkley. They have this running back that they drafted number two overall back in 2018. Injuries have really sidetracked his career, and the Giants, obviously, Greg, are not a team that's close to contention. So why would you have Barkley around? They would trade him in a second if they could, right?
Yeah, I think if they got the right offer. But maybe we've learned this offseason that they're not just going to give him up for a sixth-round pick. Like, you might as well just keep him. This was the time of year, I remember at the owners' meeting, when the OBJ from the Giants to elsewhere, which turned out to be Cleveland, started popping up. So this is a time of year where you do see some lower-level trades. He also mentioned there was a report from ESPN, James Bradbury will be traded. Like, they've kind of made it clear to him, and they're just hoping, I think, to get a better offer around draft time. But it sounded like with Barkley, they might realize they're not really getting much, so you might as well keep him.
It's just a classic. You know, Dave Gettleman had his guys, new GM, new coach. These aren't our guys, and they're clearing cap room, and you know they have there's a $21 million cap hit on James Bradbury. He was a good player. He was a Gettleman guy, but they can save a
very
ton
good. Yeah.
By moving him on. So it's like, even though he's a good player, it's like new, like they're cleaning the books up.
And things could change with Saquon too, I feel like, whether it would be in August
or
draft weekend, I think he could still get
money. I have a sneaking, just a feeling that Saquon Barkley is not going to be a Giant in week one.
And I'm not totally doubting his ability to be a high-level running back again. I know he looked a step slow last year, but it's been a tough couple of years. Maybe you never come back. Maybe it's a Todd Gurley-type situation. But I would like to see him in a healthier situation with a better offensive line and better quarterback play. I don't know. We'll see it, though. That was news and notes presented by Upwork, the world's work marketplace. Learn more at Upwork.com. Moving on. In other news, the Chiefs. It's life after Tyreek Hill. How about that?
Oh, yeah, we missed you for that.
Yeah, that was a bummer. You know, I thought I'd be in the clear for blockbuster trades, and sure enough, one of the great playmakers of his generation gets moved in a blockbuster deal.
Didn't you have to rejigger power rankings while at Disneyland?
I was online for It's a Small World, and I'm cranking out a copy for the Dolphins and the Chiefs in the biggest of all spots.
It's awful.
Some vacation. Anyway, the Chiefs are scrambling. Oh, they won't say they're scrambling. They say it's all part of the plan. They made a decision. So they've signed Marquez Valdez-Scantling, formerly of the Packers, 3 years, $30 million.
Well, these wideouts are getting
$18 million comes in the first 2 years, so
that's real money.
He's getting that money. That seems like a lot of money for Scantling after you decided you wouldn't pay reach the price point for Tyreek Hill. They also come to terms with former first round pick of the Bucks, Ronald Jones, on a deal. So the offense obviously going to look different, Mark, without Tyreek Hill, and you just wonder what moves could be next for them.
I mean, the money is telling me that they're banking on MVS and his speed playing that Tyreek Hill role, and along with a combination of other people, because you've got to somehow find a way to not only replace the numbers, which were 111 catches last year for 1,200 plus yards and 9 touchdowns, but the type of player that Tyreek Hill was. And if you go watch MVS, I mean, he does have that speed. Next Gen Stats records him as the only player that topped Tyreek Hill's speed over the last two seasons. And it happened on one play, but there were a couple deep shots last year where he worked really well with Aaron Rodgers. And you just trust that Patrick Mahomes will make any wide receiver better than he'd be in almost any other offense, except maybe Green Bay.
Right. I think that the Chiefs wanted to shake things up, that at least that was part of the equation. Like, Andy Reid's been doing this a long time. Patrick Mahomes, obviously, they've been together now a while. This group was together a while. And not that, like, Andy Reid needs new inspiration, but he knew things had to change. They kind of were running back the same offense, and it was two diminishing returns. Nate Tice, who we like on the show we've had an interesting Twitter thread about he thinks they're going to change what they do in terms of their concepts, not like being basic, but more drop back passing, less RPO, some wide receivers who can block in Juju and MVS, and just like changing it up. Because I think you do poorly when you doubt Andy Reid's ability to reinvent himself. He always finds a way to maximize players. And I don't know if it was a personal thing. Once Tyreek Hill started really wanting that Davante Adams money, that they were just like, maybe now's the time, because they were willing to pay him. But I think there's something that they were just like, okay, nothing personal, but it's just like ready for a change. Let's see everyone doubt us without Tyreek.
But not to say that what they were doing wasn't working. It's like, I get it, and that's, you have to do that stuff. But I mean, Davante Adams got MVS this job, because that triggered the Hill contract they didn't want to deal with. And now MVS is his replacement.
And he got Tyreek Hill moved to the Dolphins indirectly.
Right.
You know, it's all connected. And I guess I do trust their team building ability to, they did feel like the Chiefs, and not just saying this, well, it's kind of tough to say. Again, it's so strange the way their season ended, because they were completely unstoppable against the Bills, completely unstoppable for the better part of two quarters in the AFC Championship game. And then it all went to hell. But if you look at the bigger picture, the last 2 years, they haven't been quite the same as they were during those early peak Mahomes years. So maybe it is time to shake up, bring in some new players. I'm with you guys. We'll see. But you're still giving up, again, Tyreek Hill. I'm not going to belabor this because you guys hit it last week. That is one of the great playmakers in the last 30 years of the NFL, wide receiver. It's like a Hall of Fame level stud. Anyway, maybe it works out. Moving on. The Eagles doing some business here. Kaiser White, the linebacker, signs a 1-year, $5 million deal after a breakout 2021 with the Chargers. Also, the Eagles re-sign Derek Barnett to a 2-year contract. He is not a guy that puts up monster numbers, but he fills a role for them. And I just want to do one quick correction. Ronald Jones was a second-round pick.
Oh, wow. What a perfection.
Not a first-rounder.
You are a perfectionist.
Thank you.
And a showman.
I could totally see Ronald Jones. Like, he will have one primetime game where he has 216 yards, including a 70-yard touchdown, and everyone's like, Andy Reid did it again. And
Dundee
maybe he's
not
going to do it like a ton, but he'll do it at least once. I love the Kaiser White move. He was just one of my favorite free agent linebackers. I think he was one of Brandon Staley's favorite players. He was quoted Monday saying, like, this is the first time where the business of the NFL and the personal side of it really hurts, because this was a guy, like, I really loved his development, loved what he did for us, but it just didn't make sense for them anymore. Which, I would feel bad if I was Brian Bulaga or someone else that they, like, cut this offseason. It's like, oh, this is the first time? I guess you were just totally cool firing me.
Had a great season last year. And, I mean, the Eagles probably could still draft a linebacker. It's a definite need for them. But they're getting him at age 26. He's a great coverage linebacker, and I think it's a great signing for them.
Good
back input. To you, Dan.
Good input, Mark. In broadcasting news. No, I meant the NFL on Fox. You can put that in post.
I like this. I like this better.
You want to do this instead?
I mean, this makes you think of Fox.
To Star Wars theme.
This makes you think of Fox for sure.
I was looking for NFL on Fox. Dun 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 dun.
The robot.
Let's do that.
With the whole Oscars, you know, it all ties in.
Well, all right, we'll figure it out in post. Here we go. We know the game of musical chairs that's been going on both in the NFL but also in the broadcasting ranks. And Fox had to make a move after they lost both Troy Aikman and Joe Buck to various enterprises. So they make a move. Next man up, Kevin Burkhart, the number two NFL play-by-play announcer at Fox last season, is the successor to Joe Buck, according to our man, Andrew Marchand, who is killing it.
Wait, he's got a lot of material to work with this
like
offseason.
Every time there is something.
He's been on the forefront, right?
No, I totally could not.
Who is his? Let's say,
more.
Look, you got Schefter and Rappaport.
Right.
And they're always going at it, right? With Marchand, it's just like it's Marchand or Marchand.
He owns that corner and he does an excellent job. And he went to the same college that I went to for about 6 months, Ithaca College.
In fairness, 75% of college students in the last 30 years went to a college that you went to because you went to so many.
I kept transferring over and over to the high annoyance of my family.
They keep dripping out this news, though. It's like we don't know who his play-by-play guy, I mean his color guy
is. Why isn't it Olsen?
I think Olsen's got to be.
He's probably the leader in the clubhouse, but maybe there's different people angling. You know, supposedly they tried to approach Tom Brady for that job, but he wasn't interested a couple months ago. Wonder why.
I'm now annoyed, though, to be honest, because I think we all agree Burkhart is awesome. And we, during Corona times, we interviewed him in our remote locations. And I, you know, I was very excited to ask a question of him. And my sound was not working.
Oh, tough.
Remember
sitch.
That? I couldn't speak the entire time.
Tough sitch.
We'll have to have him back.
I'll have him back on my own show.
Speaking of Marchand, so after the Will Smith, Chris Rock incident last night, I did something that I haven't done since like Howard Stern was on the channel. I flipped on E! And I was like, oh, I got to check out the post-game coverage of this. Like, I need more info about this situation. And it's these three people I've never seen before, not surprising. And they're talking about, like, Beyonce's dress from the opening song. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So I tweeted, like, I need an Andrew Marchand takedown of E's coverage. And he quote, retweeted, I turned it off pretty quick. Got to rip up the rundown. They were off to other topics. You got to rip up the rundown.
Right. You got to just be flowing. I saw this thing where they, you know, asked all the media present not to ask anything about it. Like, for instance, Questlove was up there. He accepted the award right after Chris Rock. And it is unfortunate. Like, they, you know, a lot of people, it was unfortunate for them and how it overshadowed. Mm. That said, you know, put Mary Kay Cabot or Tony
Cabot
Grossi
in
that room. That Browns media, they're asking the question.
You've
I don't care.
Ask the question.
I don't care what I don't care what they say before it starts. You gotta ask, like, and you can ask it in an empathetic way. So but that's what you need to hear about.
Well, and the Oscars
Absolutely.
Have been a raging snooze fest for a long, long time.
A long time.
And I grew up loving that. It was one of my favorite things to watch. It's just been a mess. They are back front and center more than they've ever been. How are you not taking that rundown and throwing it into a fire?
Right. Like, who is the big time reporter over there at E now? I know we lost Joan Rivers sometimes.
You can't really replace Joan Rivers or, you know.
Ricky, you know this.
Seacrest, I mean, he's been there over the years.
Seacrest.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's still there.
He's not there.
Let's imagine Seacrest is the guy there.
Him and Kelly have a morning show, though. They were talking about it this morning, I think.
Well, but that's okay. That's, you know, that's the next day. We're all chopping it up, you know, around the coffee table. No, but when you're in the, you know, the heat right there, post-game show, you need somebody, a Seacrest type, to ask the hard questions that people want to know. That's your job as a journalist.
It's a shameful effort by E.
I've been in. I was in that room once in the Emmys because I was an NBC page. And
take us through it.
Not a lot of hard-hitting questions. Not a lot of hard-hitting questions to Deborah Messing after victorious, you know, her win and for Will and Grace. Not a lot of hard questions.
Remember that guy Ross that did like Jay Leno's show? I think he went to E. Like, Maybe Ross, whatever his name is. He's asking the questions.
This is before your time. This is before your time, Eric.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I actually do. I know who Dan is talking about. That was also while I was a page. It was in that era.
All right. Ross, Jalen.
Little did we know that Greg the page would, you know, years later deliver a powerful speech on the music classes in Western New York.
Very funny, quick story. Emma worked for E. Her first job was a PA on E. And there was like a mysterious cardboard box outside on the street. And they made her go check what's in the box.
That's so illegal.
Emma's so little and like innocent. And they were like, hey, you, like, can you go check that cardboard box?
That is an absurd task. Dangerous.
No one will miss you if you're gone.
Right.
Ross the intern, his name was, or Ross Matthews. I mean, Matthews has got to be in there. He's got to be in the fire.
Right.
His ass is in the fryer, and that's part of the gig.
Anyway. Wait, hold on. Erica, what was in the box?
Oh, she said it was just like nothing, like homeless clothes or extra clothes.
It was an alarm clock with wires.
Yeah.
No big deal.
It was like raining, and she like crossed the street to look in this box.
Finally in the news. Let's head to the Kicker Club, as we like to do. It's a rainy day in Los Angeles, but guess what? People stand in the rain to get in through the velvet ropes. And Greg Zuerlein has a job. Greg the Leg, as he's known, with the New York Jets. He signs with Gang Green. The Jets previously retained free agent Eddie Pinheiro. So it's going to be a kicking competition. Listen, Greg the Leg, I don't know. We'll see.
Terrible season last year. Do you remember me telling you it was going to cost the Cowboys at some point in a dramatic way? Well, it was like weeks later that Jerry Jones acknowledged, like, we have to change the way that we're operating on offense because Greg the Leg has a leg that's not getting us there. But he was coming off back surgery last year. So
you just put a lot at Greg Zuerlein's feet for the failure of the Cowboys.
Yeah, he missed six extra points and
right,
had like an 83%.
What did that have to do with them just struggling in that game?
He was a mess last year for the Cowboys.
He was a mess. The Jets, I feel like the Jets have had some swings and misses here. Not Zuerlein. But as a Jets fan, how did the whole Tyreek Hill reporting
hold that thought
strike you?
Okay. For our next segment.
Okay. It's nice to be back in the Kicker Club, though.
It is. Hey, listen, he's a former first-team All-Pro. But you know who I'd rather have? Somebody we had like a decade ago, Nick Folk. I was still at the Folk Hero.
Right.
I mean, at this point, Nick Folk is absolutely the Patriots' biggest off-season signing and probably one of their best players.
Bit troubling, too.
Nick Folk.
Did you see Belichick, by the way? Talking about how great it is that Joe Judge and his new offensive genius, Matt Patricia, are ready to rock this year. The latest quotes.
I do like that everyone now is making jokes about the Patriots offensive staff. It's down to two people. It's just Patricia and Judge, it seems. And there is something kind of
I have the Belichick quote there.
It's putting them in a spot where they're being doubted.
That's Let's hear from Bill.
We've had a lot of coaches take multiple responsibilities. I'm not really worried about that. I think a good coach is a good coach, and Mac's a great coach. Joe's a great coach. They'll help us no matter what position they coach.
He sounds like a little bit like Philip Seymour Hoffman there. Can you hear the top of that again?
We've had a lot of coaches take multiple responsibilities.
You're right.
Like from Boogie
really
Nights?
Yeah, about absolutely. That. I think a good coach is
Dark,
a good coach.
Can you come outside?
Well, one thing I absolutely believe in Bill Belichick from that statement is he's not worried about it. At the point of his career, he is not worried. He cares, but he's not worried about what.
He doesn't care what we think.
Yeah. Right. Patricia, though, it's like,
he's
cool,
next level.
But I'm doing like eight times more work for the same amount of money as if you had gotten a bunch of other, you know, ham and eggers I could pass off assignments on.
Patricia should be happy.
I was going to say, what would Matt Patricia be doing if Bill Belichick wasn't around? He'd probably be an offensive or a defensive line coach like in Jacksonville right now, right?
Right, but he's doing way more. I'm just focused on the fact that he has to do a lot more work. That seems I would be agitated if I were him.
Mm-hmm. That's what's happening in the news. All
you
right.
do have a little developing news. It's just to check, to get it going here. The league did update and announced changes to the Rooney Rule. First of all, they're keeping it. There was some talk of getting rid of it. No, they're strengthening it. They are now requiring a diverse hire to be an offensive assistant coach with each team. So either a minority or a woman would also
qualify. So they are expanding it. And they're also saying women will be added to every requirement of the Rooney Rules.
Good. Obviously, needs to be continue to be – that rule has to evolve and get, I guess, better. It needs to work better than it has, so –
And especially offensive coaches, like that's there's not a lot of like
right
minority offensive coordinator.
They can't be Zoom interviews for any of these.
Oh, interesting.
And they also said interviewing two women for head coach would satisfy the Rooney Rule, because just trying to figure out how that all mixes in, if you were curious. So that
eliminating is that's a very 2022 sentiment, and it's, you know, it I guess it says so you're not checking a box with a video conversation, but. If you're still not serious about hiring a candidate and you are checking a box, now you're making that candidate get on a plane, check in at a hotel, go through the whole process. At least with the Zoom, like you weren't – don't insult me by like making me uproot my life.
Here's
Does
what
that
I
make it actually
different.
More effective?
It's the difference of being on Zoom versus being in a room with someone and understanding who they are and getting a better feel for them. You're giving them a real chance.
Well, although, give them a real – that's the most important thing. Actually give them a real chance in the conversation.
The whole thing has been a mess. And like I like some of these tweaks because I don't like the idea of the Zoom meeting, which was just, as you say, checking a box, and they're not taking it seriously at all.
But Mike Tomlin, you know, I think was – well said when he said he's been very involved in all these committees and different things over the years, and he doesn't have that much hope, you know, for it changing too much because it hasn't. Because I think the on a league level, and I really believe this from Roger Goodell, I think they're trying to do what they can on a league level, but it comes down to owners. And the owners have shown no particular inclination to change their behavior.
They're not a transformative group, that is for sure.
That's what's happening in the news. All right, everybody, hold right there. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right. Before we say goodbye, let's check in on what's going on with the free agents list. And you're right, like the Greybeards is a roster of all 30 and over, like Erica, 30 and over players. And there are a lot out there right on that precipice that are looking for jobs. It's the way it is every year. You know, you don't want to be on the in that 29, 30, 31 age range because teams figure or think of ways to build a team without you. So let's go through some of these players that are still out there and maybe find a fit for them. Greg, get us going.
All right. I'm going to start with one that might be controversial in this room. How about trading Jimmy Garoppolo? He's just still sitting out there. I know it's not a free agent fit, but I don't care.
All right,
just
a fun trade.
Yeah, I'm throwing this out just because it's got some juice, because I was thinking, where can Jimmy G go? I wanted to start here. How about the New York Jets? How about Jimmy Garoppolo at some point being the fail-safe for Zach Wilson? This team needs to win. They're obviously backing Zach with everything that they can and want, but in case it doesn't go well, have someone who I think fits well in that system. You get him at a discount price. You get an adult in the room I think can help him out too. I think it makes some sense.
Joe Flacco is an adult in the room.
I don't need Joe Flacco.
I know you're not a Flacco guy, but I'm saying he is a proven Super
That's
Bowl
fair.
MVP,
I forgot about
longtime
that.
Starter. But he's also not anybody's idea of someone who could step in and really take your team to any level of success at this stage in his career. I hear where you're at, and I understand the doubts because I've had them too. Zach Wilson's rookie season was very up and down, mostly down. So you want to build in some security. And if you're Joe Douglas, perhaps, yes, that would be a smart way to go about trying to save your job, because he can't have another 4-13.
That's what I mean. Right. I just mean it's a win now league. It's a win now world. They are in win now. I don't believe that having a good number two like Jimmy G is going to make Zach Wilson play better or worse. And so I just think they need to prevent any situation where it goes south this year, because I think they have a roster that can compete.
I like it.
It's tough with the Jets, because all these AFC teams, including now the Dolphins, are getting better. And while I think that they've had a smart offseason, you know, the fact that they weren't able to get Marcus Williams, they weren't able to get Chandler Jones, they were hot on both those guys, and then they came so close, it seemed, on Tyreek Hill, even with an agreement of a trade, that's three big swings and misses on getting guys that really could help the roster a lot. And I think all of this is like putting more and more pressure, A, on this draft class, which is a crapshoot in any year, and B, everything ultimately does go back to Zach Wilson, because I think, yeah, people get fired if he has a bad second season. To that point, I think the Jets obviously showed their hand with the Tyreek Hill situation. They say, we don't want to use one of those draft picks on a young wide receiver. We want an established star. We saw Seattle GM John Schneider say that he was shocked at what the wide receiver prices are at right now. All right, so now that they've shown their hand, Joe Douglas, be aggressive and offer a deal for DK Metcalf to come to the Jets. Woo! I think he's 24, 25 years old. He is an excellent fallback. In fact, when you factor in the age of the player involved and the background of the player involved, I would prefer Metcalf over Tyreek Hill. And I went, what would be the trade parameters? So I actually thought about this. The Vikings-Bills Stephon Diggs trade is a very good judge on this. So what if the Jets sent they have two first-round picks, 4 and 10. What if they sent the 10th overall pick and two fourth-round picks to Seattle for Metcalf and a fifth-rounder? That is very similar to the Diggs trade. I think Diggs and Metcalf are at similar places when Diggs was traded. Is that something you think Seattle would be into? Because I think they would, because I think they see themselves as maybe a long-term build at this point.
I John Schneider's comments, you know, he's pretty honest. It seems like he'll tell you what he thinks. Just to me, broadcast and telecast the concept that this is not a player they are ready to throw a ton of money at, even though they like him. I mean, Pete Carroll glowed about him, and we all get that he's great, but this is a franchise at a strange point in time right now. I think they would make that trade.
Yeah, that comment was strange, because it came on the heels of some whispers about DK Metcalf, where there are teams maybe poking around, seeing who could be the next one, whether or AJ Brown is another name that you've heard a little bit. Like, could he potentially be on the move? That makes less sense to me. I don't understand why the Seahawks would be trading DK, but it sounds like it's a possibility. Wait, like that, it didn't just come from these quotes. I think that offer would get it done, Dan. I mean, the fact that they weren't offering one of their first-round picks for Tyreek Hill was interesting. They were offering the two high seconds and some extra. Indicates maybe they're not going to be willing to give up that high pick. I think if they were, I think they'd get him, and I think it makes some sense.
Those two second round picks, the Jets have two in the first 10 picks of the second round, at 34 and 38, I believe. That's incredibly valuable to GMs, because you're getting a high caliber prospect and you don't have to give them the first round pick contract. Yep. So maybe it's two first, whatever it is, I think it makes sense. And we do know that John Schneider and Joe Douglas have a working relationship, because they pulled the trigger on the Jamal Adams deal. So keep an eye on it. Mark, something non-Jets related, perhaps?
John Schneider might want to not be in a relationship with that general manager after what happened with that trade, but we'll see. all right, this is me more. Here's a trade that I would just like to see. I think it's complex and maybe overly complex because of the dead money attached to it, but there have been little whispers and little rumors that Christian McCaffrey could be moved in time, and I would love to see him traded to the Buffalo Bills. You move Devin Singletary or someone else in reverse, and suddenly you pair Josh Allen with Christian McCaffrey in the backfield, and they are utterly unstoppable.
That's scary. It's a scary thought.
If you're a Panthers fan, at what point do you just start feeling like
you're the lower level version of the Bills, that you're kind of the minor league Bills, and the whole point of your existence is to help out the Bills franchise, like the big club, like they're AAA, and the Bills are the real team. That would be a tough one to swallow if you were a Panthers fan. Although there's something to it.
Well, I could see them moving McCaffrey.
The Jimmy G thing too. You mentioned it with the Niners and the Jets, like. Man, why weren't the Panthers getting the Jimmy G?
I think they might.
Here?
They could make some sense later in the offseason. I don't think anyone's in a hurry because he has a surgery, so it's like
his
price tag's only going to go down, and he's coming off an injury. The Panthers and the Falcons might be in the two worst spots, I feel like, present and future, of any two teams in the NFL. And the Panthers, there's something about the Panthers that feels a little hopeless right
Their plan at quarterback has been. Orchestrated about as poorly as you could even 2 years ago.
And they're just like, we don't even want Baker. It's like, maybe reconsider that if you are getting close to having Sam Darnold be your starting quarterback. Maybe
they've already talked about having mutual disinterest. That seems like a tough way to start the relationship.
I'm going to go with a free agent. How about OBJ to the Colts? I really think players are undervalued when they're coming off these serious knee injuries, and there's something to just...
How about 2 and 3 years, though, Greg? Same knee.
I get it, but there's something to not offering the one-year deal so he can, like, bet on himself and make the money. That do something in between. Give him some real guaranteed money. Make it a 3-year deal. He's not going to make anywhere close to a top-level receiver money, but maybe it's more like in the number 2 area. You know, it's more than MVS is making, for instance, and it's a good deal for both sides. Maybe it's just like a 2-year deal like that where OBJ, you get more guaranteed money, but you're with us for 2 years, and you're getting a really talented player into your building. They still have a ton of cap space, and the Colts just feel like they have major needs, and he's the wide receiver that's out there that can upgrade your team without having to give up a draft pick for
Ricky's him. Doing some sleuthing behind the glass.
Yeah, so OBJ tweeted a little bit ago, a couple days ago, last week, random thought, bruh, mm-hmm. I really think Matt Ryan to the Colts was actually fire. I think bruh will elevate and do some special over there.
Yeah.
So he's sort of feeling that too. He's mm-hmm. not tweeting that about all those other moves.
No, he's saying, sign me, pay me.
Yeah.
Pay me, Colts, because whatever the Rams, I'm sure, want him back, but he knows that he's not going to be the number one or maybe even the number two there. And I think he'd be happy to go back. But if he can get paid more money to go in Indianapolis and be a number one, that would make sense.
Yeah, right. I mean, Jordan Rodrigue, who's been on the show, who's phenomenal with the Rams, tweeted about an hour ago that the Rams, the hope desire is for him to actually return to the Rams, but they want to see, you know, what's going on with the injury and all that kind of stuff. It hasn't been done yet, but it's still being talked about.
Man, it sure feels like he wants to go to the Rams too. But
right.
It felt like a perfect fit. All right.
Money talks.
Speaking of money talking, money talked. Well, it wasn't just money. It was the need to be with Derek Carr on a molecular level for Devontae Adams. So he left the Packers, and he left a huge hole with that team. And we talked about how, yes, they can – the Packers now armed with additional cap space and draft picks can end up building perhaps a more balanced wide receiver group. But I do look at it now, and I'm just looking at our old friends at OurLads.com. Juwan Winfrey, Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Amari Rodgers, Rico Gafford, Malik Taylor. These are all guys that are on their wide receiver depth chart. They do need somebody. I hesitate to say this because I do not like this player. I don't like his attitude.
Yikes.
I don't like what he's done, both off the field and on the field. But Antonio Brown.
Oh. Oh, damn.
He can still play. He can absolutely still play. That carries a lot of weight in our league. And the Packers could look at him as someone that could, you know, give them a much-needed weapon at a depressed value because he was such a jackass at the end of his run with Tampa Bay. Now, that might be obviously a reason to stay away from him. And if you tell me Antonio Brown's NFL career is finally over from his assorted acts of jackassery, I would believe you. But at the same time, I'd be surprised. A team's going to take a chance on him. Why not be a team that's a contender that needs somebody?
I don't know.
Did you see the video of him circulating? I don't know when it was, but it was circulating this weekend where he saw a bald guy down in Miami and he thought it was Pitbull. And he like went up to him and he's like, really love your music, man. And the
guy, no.
He was like, what? Oh, my God. It was amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't put him on the top 101 because I just think you can't sign him anymore. I mean, you probably shouldn't have and couldn't have. I mean, Westwood.
You're giving teams a lot of credit right now, I'm saying.
I'm saying, yeah. I don't think it's a good idea for any team to sign him. So that 101 is my team. I think it's a bad idea for any team to sign him in any situation.
Well, you could
because
sign.
Because you just have to believe him when he's telling you who he is, you know?
Well, they don't know. I don't think anyone believes him at all at this point. But if you're a contender in November, sign him then. Like, I don't like the idea. Remember the Hard Knocks with him and the Raiders. I mean, he took that franchise and, like, tore them
and
apart
that was
from
like
the inside.
He's far gone,
though.
Ago.
I mean, I would just say you want him around your team for as little as possible in the offseason, and you plug him in when the game starts.
I don't think there's any situation. I really, when you leave the field throwing, you know, with your shirt off, and it's Tom Brady, it's the defending Super Bowl champion Bucks that you were successful with the year before. It's just
he won a Super Bowl the year before.
I know,
before.
But that's what I mean though. I think at that point everyone has to look at it. It's like we can't do anything with this
I'm just
guy.
Saying teams have
someone
a way of giving jackasses second chances.
I get it, but okay, we know
that can play.
We know what teams don't care about. You know, we know they don't care about like what Deshaun Watson did or what you do off the field. I think the only things they care about are, can they help us win? And do they like football? Like, do they care about their job? Like, I think those are the only two things that they care about at all. They don't care about anything moral. And I think Antonio Brown at this point has kind of proven that he doesn't pass the second part. You know, he doesn't.
You're making a lot of sense. But maybe the rule with Antonio Brown is you never go a second year. Never go second year with Antonio.
I think he's a hired gun. He's a hired gun. Late in the year or like when you know your team is
he's
for real.
Done.
But they need somebody now.
He's done.
And maybe they address this via a trade or a draft pick. But I look at that route and it's Super Bowl or bust for the Packers. We all know that. That's not going to cut it. Maybe it's enough to get you an NFC North title. Maybe you'll score enough points. But they need to get better on that wide receiver room. But
I don't want to talk about Antonio Brown until the Hall of Fame discussion, which will be tiring. At that point, some of us will be in our 50s. Like, it's going to be a long time from
Felt
now.
An unnecessary shot.
Yeah,
there,
that was. I was just trying to do the math quickly, like, because he's
accurate.
He's absolutely a Hall of Famer, and there's no question in my mind he's one of the greatest wide receivers of all time.
And he could still play this year, too.
But that's when season. I want to talk about him next, in 5 years.
All right.
I don't think you're going to get your wrist, Greg. I could see him. He's the way that football and like just it seems to be our world works at this point. He is an annoying enough character that he's certainly going to be back in our lives at some point.
That's the thing. He gave up on the football team. That's what people care about. It's not the domestic stuff. It's not how much of a headache he is.
I think
that's like the Cardinals.
All it takes is one desperate general manager and coach out there to say, all right, he screwed over Tom Brady and the Bucks. The Bucks aren't going to go sign him, but another team might.
And it has to be a strong figure, a quarterback. And it's like, well, he won't screw over Aaron Rodgers.
He's like sending out IG posts slamming Tom Brady and stuff. No one gets past this.
Do you want to do a sandwich that he's in the league in 2022?
Yeah, I'll do that.
All right, lock it in.
2022. So it ends.
At any point in the season.
Any point in the regular season. I mean, sure. Right.
Sure. And they're not going to sign him.
Wait, why not playoffs?
Sure, the playoffs.
But
well,
no
because
one,
usually our sandwiches end at the end of the regular season, and so it's a
sure.
nice clean
that is a nice clean break point. It'd be very strange if someone signed him just for the playoffs.
It wouldn't be that strange. I mean, it could be the difference maker. There could be an injury in late November.
We need him to learn the playbook between the divisional playoffs and the AFC title game.
This is too much talking about Antonio Brown.
How about this one?
It had to be said. Go ahead.
Honey Badger. I really wanted him to go to the Jets, but that did not happen. To the Denver Broncos.
Hmm. Why is he still on the market?
Rap sheet indicated, yeah, he clearly didn't get the money that he wanted. And that's true for a lot of guys near the top of the 101. And Ian indicated he didn't think now it was going to happen for a while, that he wasn't going to be in this second wave, that now he's just going to
wait it out and pick the best team, and he kind of knows the deal that he really wanted isn't out there. There's a lot of teams that could use him.
I think, listen, so you have Justin Simmons. You add him to your defense. They don't have a lot else at the position, but he can be used in so many different ways. And that team is like looking for guys who can essentially just put them over the top in the gnarliest division in football.
The Ravens and the Patriots, who were tied to him at first, to me, still make some sense. Some of the teams that would have signed.
Man, Ravens are loaded in the secondary.
Have filled their needs.
And I'll just...
Oh, yeah, not the Ravens. Sorry, that was a brain fart.
It's okay.
They're good.
And I'll throw one more out there.
By the way.
Yeah, brain fart, gross. Your boy, Jadeveon Clowney, he'll be on the Rams. He's going to replace Von Miller. You got it?
We're in sync.
They need a secondary pass rusher. He can still stop the run. He won't be that expensive because nobody will ever pay Jadeveon Clowney on a big multi-year deal, apparently. Feels like a very Ramsey move.
I mean, Bobby Wagner obviously on the radar there too.
I feel like everyone left that has a big name could be a Ramsey type.
But Clowney in particular, doesn't that make sense that they would go after him?
Yes. Stephon Gilmore could maybe be a Ramsey type move. They certainly could use a second cornerback. I don't know. He really isn't getting the money that he thought. Him returning to the Patriots, I think, could make some sense after all of this, that he didn't get the money that he want. They certainly need a cornerback still, and I think he would be comfortable maybe going back there. I don't know. I see you. I'm looking over your shoulder. You have him going to the Bengals.
Well, I think they could use a cornerback. Stephon Gilmore would fit. He'd be plugged right into a
Dwayne Brown still out there. He can play. Melvin Ingram still out there. A lot of good.
And we kind of speculated this before it went down, but I do. Will Fuller joining the Browns, beefing up that wide receiver group more. He's had success with Deshaun Watson. That they have the room to add more players. That just makes too much sense not to happen, I think.
I thought they were definitely going to draft a wide receiver before all this, but now they've been stripped of so many draft picks, so Will Fuller totally fits.
I think the Patriots should lean into this. We're like the mafia. We don't bring in anyone from the outside. Bring back Gilmore. Bring back Trey Flowers. Bring back Dante Hightower. It'll be like a greatest hits team.
And minus the best player of all time, but yes.
And then just because I'm looking at this list, Julio Jones and A.J. Green are both free agents. You know, these guys were the wide receivers during the early era of around the NFL. I wonder if either of them, it's going to be a struggle for them to find work.
I think they'll both be in the league for sure.
Probably. I wonder how long it will take.
I think they're just surprised about the lack of money that they're getting. But I think if they were willing to pay for, let's say, 1 year, $3 million, there'd be about 10 to 15 teams that would love to have.
Maybe that's more my point. The passage of time that they're going to take very low guaranteed 1 year deals now. We're at that age for them.
Right.
I have one last.
Green exceeded expectations last year. 1 for 6.
I have one last DK Metcalf trade scenario.
Okay.
It's not going to happen, but it would be the most dazzling.
You have the exact numbers and draft picks like I did for my Jets Metcalf trade?
No. So it's a lower version of what you produced. But just imagine this. DK Metcalf traded to the Titans, and you get DK Metcalf paired with A.J. Brown.
Ooh.
I would watch that all day long.
Get the cans on, Gravedigger. What are the prospects of the deal again? What are the specifics?
I don't care about the terms.
I mean, Robert
Woods
is there.
We need the terms.
Graver, what should they give up for him?
Everything.
A.J. Brown and DK Metcalf.
And Robert Woods.
But you don't have any cap space either, right? What are you going to do?
You restructure. You restructure Taylor Lewan.
You finesse the cap.
They've done a lot of that, though.
Yes.
And they're right at the cap.
Hit Byard. Could still do Derrick Henry, and they could still do Taylor Lewan, although that would tie them to Taylor Lewan dead money-wise for a couple more years.
I think Robert Woods was their receiver move. What do you think, though, about the little buzz that A.J. Brown could possibly be available?
I think it's extremely unrealistic. I think it's very much nonsense.
Yeah.
John Robinson spoke about it.
Someone's putting it out there.
It's the Jets.
The lady doth protest too much.
I don't understand why this is even a story. It's like...
You want to guess? That A.J. Brown wants that money right now, and he's not. And he has representatives.
It's
Davante
Adams' fault.
They're going to pay him.
Okay.
I think they're going to pay
him. I have a neighbor. He lives around the corner from me.
That's cool.
He's from Tennessee. Shut up. And
it's a Dan Hansis shout-out.
Thank you, Paul Rudd. And he said, he's a big Titans fan. He said, All we need is a decent quarterback. And I said, ooh, ouch. That just seemed a little.
Yeah.
You have a decent quarterback.
That's what I thought, I think too. But then
your issue is you want more than a decent quarterback.
Is that how you responded
well,
to him?
I said, ooh.
And then just walked
that's
away.
That's a toughie. And I walked away. No, I don't know.
Yeah. Stupid. Titans fans are very anti-Ryan Tannehill right now because that playoff game
right.
Just
I get
stands
it.
Out.
But the word decent, like he, would, yeah. To me, he would, that would be the low bar that he would clear. He
I like that
decent.
Just like poking a Gravedigger every week on how he feels about Ryan Tannehill until he breaks.
He's a fringe top 10 quarterback.
Mm.
You should get Gravedigger together with your neighbor who's the Titans fan. I'm sure that would be
a good podcast. Well, he keeps firing his co-host on the Titans podcast, the film room.
He's got an issue with commitment here or with, you know.
Who, Gravedigger?
Impacting other people's commitment, at least.
If you look at his personal history and his private life, no issue with commitment. He will dive right into commitments, no matter how thorny they may be. Got to look at it that way, too.
He's driven.
Sure is.
When you see an opportunity, you got to take it.
He always adds a little extra. He loves it.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to talk about this. Like, see, yet I'm going to keep dropping bullet right, points yeah. every
I'll do everything episode. For her. Thank you, Gravedigger. All right, that's it. We'll be back on Thursday with another show. The Around the NFL broadcast is back on NFL Network on Friday, so make sure you check that out. Until then, Dan Hansis signing off for Quiet Storm. Yo, boss. Ricky Hollywood, the Gravedigger. Save the children, save the music. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.